I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right. Enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
Did I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong? Disconnect.
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Just once, every 3 or 4 months, I would like him to say the hometown of Dr. Ray. Not once. Nice to have you here in the hometown of Mother Angelica, in the studios of WILB. Living Bread Radio. This is a co-production. Ave Maria Radio Communications with Andrew Krucek, producer man, Eric Dumont, call screamer man there in Ann Arbor, and the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, which is one big network composed of a whole lot of smaller networks, although they are large in their own right. And then a lot of wonderful independent stations, as well as all kinds of ways to listen through apps. Sirius Satellite, Channel 130. So very, very nice to have you with me. Program is a call-in program. You are the callers. I am the callee. You call in and talk first. And then I interrupt to talk some more. Sometimes I don't interrupt. Sometimes I just ask questions. But either way, you make the program. There's no question about it. No pun intended there. You are the ones who, without you, I'm not here. Don't let that tempt you. Did you hear what he said? I mean, how to get rid of him. So if you'd like to call in, 877-57-EQUAL is the number. If you have a question about something in your life, I'm a clinical psychologist. That's my professional career. That's what I do. It's what I've done for a long time. But here on the program, we can educate, help out a little bit, give you a few options, a few thoughts, something perhaps useful. Something perhaps you'd say, well, no, that's not very useful at all, so therefore I wasted my time calling up. Just don't tell me that. You can say it to Eric and Andrew, but don't tell me. And don't write into EWTN and say it either. They get enough of those. Or if you want to help somebody else out. A lot of people say that, in fact, they've had something similar, and they call in and say, look what I did, how I handled it. I'll tell you the right way to handle it. Dr. Ray stumbled his way around. I will clarify and pick up the pieces. I'll do damage control. Sometimes people call in with generic questions. What about this? What do you think about this? So, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call. Be delighted to hear from you for something in your world, in your mind, in your social circle. Either frustrating you or you just simply want to, get an opinion bouncing off. 877-57-EQUAL. A couple of things. I am getting very excited. Two reasons. This weekend, July 26th, I just dated the show, Andrew Krucek, so that if we decide to use it in the future, I'm simply going to say right now, okay, ignore this because this show aired in an earlier date and it's not July 26th coming up. There, took care of that. But for the meantime, the Guadalupe Radio Network, the Houston affiliate. Houston's a major, major market. I think Houston's fifth size market in the U.S. Their summer speaker series. Getting a chance to come and talk to the folks there. Anything I do for Guadalupe is just always just an absolute delightful time. So Zach Allen, he's got things rotating there, which is really nice. That's this Saturday. So if you want information, you just go to grnonline.com to get the info to sign up to be there. We're going to be Lone Star Air Museum. Sounds kind of cool. And get to see my son. My son just finished up a 10-year term. At Fort Hood, well, it was Fort Hood, then it was Fort Cavazos, and now it's back to Fort Hood. So, I think it's back to Fort Hood. But he is down there in Houston, so we'll get a chance to see him. Okay, get to your call shortly here. Yesterday, I went up to a place in Lakewood with my producer, Dick Russ, who is the executive producer of the TV show Living Right with Dr. Ray on EWTN. And we have to cut certain segments for the program. And this new segment idea was one where we take either pieces of research or comments from people in the news or in the media or in the social influencing sphere, and he and I talk about them. Doug Keck and Father Robert Spitzer does something very similar in the beginning part of Father Spitzer's universe. We ran across one study done by a guy, I think named Haberman. It's a while back. And what he noticed was, as we get more materially well off and more comfortable, we do not have less problems in our own mind. What we do is we redefine what a problem is. We broaden out what we consider significant problems or crises. Much of human history was very rough. And in many cultures now today, it still is. Much of human history, lifespan was short. Approximately 50% of children died before age 5. It was, in the words of one social commentator, nasty, brutish, and short. But we live, at least in the Western world in many respects, and in particular the United States, we live very well, very comfortably, relatively, materially, and comfort levels. Very, very, very much so. As that goes up, this gentleman's conclusion was that what we consider problems goes up. And what we consider problems, we broadened the definition. Example. Say you go out and you find a flat tire in your car. Now, for many people, that can ruin their day. Or it can be so frustrating, they can barely stand it. It takes some hours to calm down. That's an inconvenience. Certainly. But how big a problem is it? And his point was, it's a bigger problem because we've gotten more comfortable. We've gotten more materially well off. And so there's a subtle expectation that things are going to go the way we'd like them to go. The difficulties and the struggles that were so, so much a part of life, serious stuff. You realize before the advent of antibiotics, if you got certain infectious illnesses, you either lived or died. How's it? My son, he's a type 1 diabetic, diagnosed at age 19. Prior to about 100 years ago, my son would have died. That's it. Nothing they could have done about it. Insulin wasn't available. Matter of fact, the top five killers of people in human history were mostly infections. So life was tough. It was really tough. And when you struggled in life to survive, our Lord said, "Give us this day our daily bread." They estimated that a significant minority, if not a majority of people, at that time in our Lord's culture, had a serious concern about food. We don't worry about food anymore. We don't worry about shelter anymore. In fact, we're not really in danger of being conquered, which the history of the world is a history of marauders, conquering whole societies, enslaving them. So life has been just absolutely brutal for much of human history, but as we've made it technologically a little more sophisticated, not a little more, a lot more, we've beaten back a lot of the illnesses. You realize something as straightforward as cataracts? If you had cataracts for most of human history, well, you just looked through them or you went blind. That's just the way it was. Well, now we just look at cataracts like, yeah, I'm going in for cataract surgery so I can get this out and I can see clearly again. There's so much of that. And what happens is when you get to the point where you expect life to be a certain way, to be smooth, to be comfortable, to be materially well off, we change our definition of problems. Littler things become bigger things. Life's inconveniences or frustrations or disappointments become huge. It's a natural progression from having a lot and being comfortable to getting more quickly frustrated by the stuff of life that doesn't go like we would like. And if you could remember that, you can put it in its context. And that's a first step toward not getting so distressed by what is the normal flow of human existence. 877-573-7825 is the number. We will go to... Oh, she's gone already? I know who she was. She had a question. She'll call back. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to get onto the program. Definitely would like to talk to you. This is Dr. Ray.
Experience an unforgettable evening with Grammy Award-winning artist Rebecca St. James. The concert is Tuesday, July 29th at 7 p.m. at St. Isidore Church in Macomb. Tickets start at just $23. Presented by St. Kieran and St. Isidore Catholic Churches. Purchase tickets online at stkieran.org. That's stkieran.org. Don't miss your chance to see Rebecca St. James live in concert.
Beautiful.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Grandy, host of The Doctor Is In Ave Maria Radio for 20 years. I've been with them. And during that time, I've watched them spread our precious faith to anyone, anywhere. Well, also in that time, their equipment, the equipment that they had as cutting edge, no longer is cutting edge. It's kind of like an iPhone 5. We need your help. We absolutely need your help. Visit AveMariaRadio.net. You're not just donating. You're broadcasting hope.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John talks about worship and love. After a very successful Alpha series at his parish at the time, many attendees were excited and hungry to learn even more about God. Out of that longing for the Lord, the Next Necessary Step series was formed. Don't miss out this week as Father John teaches about what worship means to us and to God, as well as what true love really looks like. Tune in for Christ is the Answer Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
One almost full hour of antidote. The airborne cure for parentis maximus wimpus, chronic or acute type, dispensing Docazin. Well, that was the brand name. It went off patent. It is now generic tricyclonol. Okay, I remember this e-person, not too long ago, probably about a day ago from this young lady. I've got it in front of me, but since you can't see this, I'm going to hold it up to the computer screen. There, can you see it? Can anybody see it? I'm not real good at technology, Andrew, so I don't know if I hold it up to the computer screen. Can our listeners see it? Probably not, huh? Okay, so I guess I'll have to let her talk. Try facts. Our anonymous caller from Canada. Hi, young lady. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I got your email in front of me, and there seems to be two levels to this email, so why don't you summarize it?
I have my best friend, and she just got married recently, and it just seems to kind of have broke us apart a bit, and I don't know if I'm kind of being weird about it, or if it's legitimate that it's kind of pushed this apart, or yeah.
Well, what makes you think that it's a strained relationship now?
Just the way she was acting a couple years before, she was just dating around like crazy, and kind of dating all these guys that, you know, even from afar, because we're about 40-hour drive from each other, but even from afar, I was kind of like, oh, I don't really know why you're putting up with all of these things.
40-hour drive, that's across a continent.
Yeah.
And you're Canada. She in the States?
No, she's, I'm more on the west of Canada, and she's on the east coast.
Were you friends close before you moved or she moved?
Yeah, we went to school together. So we had 3 years where we spent a ton of time together. Cool. And then after that, we had a couple years where she lived just a few hours away. And then the past 3-4 years, we've been really far apart.
As you size it up, sounds like your friend has decided, I'm getting a little nervous about not being married. So she went on to a very hyperactive search for guys. That sound about right?
Yeah, I think so.
And then when you, according to your mail here, you said something to her about this, that she was socially flailing about, and you said she took it well, but... On the surface, she seemed to take it well. Now you're wondering if she actually took it well. She didn't like you, implying that she wasn't doing it right. But she met a guy that she normally didn't care about and decided to marry him in a rather whirlwind courtship, right?
Yeah.
Asked you to be the maid of honor. You said yes. And then you said, well, maybe not, because I'm supposed to be supportive and I don't feel supportive. And she said, okay. No problem. I understand.
Yeah.
And then, my dear, you, instead of saying, oh, good. Oh, good. I'm off the hook. She understands. No. You went, well, gee, it seems I'm kind of pretty happy that I'm not going to be maid of honor. What is this, you know?
Yeah.
And now she's married. And you don't hear much from her?
We tried talking a couple times, but it was just, I don't know, it just felt off to me. So I was like, oh, I don't know. It just definitely didn't feel the same, I guess.
Well, my guess would be, if there is anything there or there isn't, she probably sees it as, I'm married now. I've got my life to live. And I know you don't approve. That's probably underlying if there is any actual distance in the relationship and not just geographic. So that would make sense to me that she would say, you know, you didn't support me. Didn't want to be a maid of honor. You didn't like the way I was dating around before. And you probably don't like the guy I'm married to. So I'm not so sure we're all that close anymore. Does that sound like a decent hypothesis?
I feel like that's how it is on my side, but on her side, it's felt like she's tried to keep things as if they were the same.
Hmm.
And I'm kind of the one that's more like, something feels off, or there's something, maybe she also feels like things are off, but she's trying to just push forward as if things were fine.
Well, if you want to have contact with her, then I think you ignore your feeling.
Okay.
You don't say to yourself, well, I just kind of feel something is not the same. Well, and that may be based on your intuition and you're picking up subtle cues. If that's the case, I think what you'll find is that over time, the contacts will be less and less, that she'll quit reaching out as much. If that's the case, it'll be confirmed. On the other hand, if you say to yourself, well, I still value her friendship, and she's reached out to me, so I'm not going to overinterpret this. I'm simply going to just go on as if she's chosen to be married to this guy. That's her business. I think she's making a big mistake, but hey, who am I to tell her? So at this point, I'll just simply talk to her. I'll ask her about her life. I'll ask her what she's doing in the marriage, what's going on, etc., 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 just like I used to. And I will not overinterpret this. And if it comes out that in time you'll notice a widening gap because she's essentially saying, "I know how you think," and pretty clear. So you'll find out about that. But I wouldn't overanalyze it. That gets us in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
Because you really don't know, right?
Yeah.
You really don't know.
Yeah.
And let me put it to you this way too, though. That was a dumb thing to say, because I'm going to put it to you, so why do I just have to put in a sentence that kind of fills up the time? She's now living very differently than you are. She's married to this guy. She may want to get pregnant. You're still single, I assume. So,
well, no, I'm married.
I'm
married,
I know,
and I have kids.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't pick
yeah.
that. You didn't say that in the email.
Sorry. Sorry, I probably should have.
Yeah, people do that all the time. They go, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you that one. Well, then, I don't know. If I were to speculate wildly, which I'm very good at doing, I would guess that she might be thinking, well, okay, you've got your life. You've got your kids. Don't deny me mine.
Yeah.
That may have been underlying some of it. Which is, you got a wife, you got a husband, and you got kids, and I'd like to have a husband and kids too, you know. And you're telling me the way I'm going about it isn't good. But oh, you can say that because you're all happy and everything. I would wonder. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, and I guess I was just kind of wondering if that's like legitimate for me to have like reservations about her now because of this marriage.
No.
Okay.
No, because she doesn't owe you anything. She's allowed to be foolish.
Okay.
You know?
Okay, that's good.
Sure. I mean, people make bad decisions all the time, and you can't say, well, because I think their decision is really foolish, then I'm really going to pull back from them. That her decision doesn't directly affect you.
Yeah,
you may have to be around a little bit to pick up some of the pieces 4 years from now. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay, that's good to know.
Alrighty, my dear. Thank you so much. Now, see, I couldn't have done that with just your email because I needed to ask
not.
You a bunch of stuff. I would have
yeah.
tried. I would have tried. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, young lady, you take good care. Okay, we've got some calls up there. 877-573-7825. 877-57-equal is the number to call. Heading to Buffalo, good Lord permitting, August 19th and 20th. I'll give you some details as soon as I come back from the hard break. The numbers are already starting to mount to be in the audience for the TV show in Buffalo. So I'll talk about that shortly here, and then I'll get immediately... Well, not immediately, within minutes to your calls. I'm Dr. Ray.
raising your IQ with every, it used to be every segment. We're getting close to raising it with every sentence. My ultimate goal is to raise your IQ with every word, including the small ones, the, and it, so. This is Dr. Ray. Thank you for joining me. Before I go back to your calls, real quick, continuing to invite you folks in the Buffalo Station of the Cross area, or depending upon how much you love me, those of you in Montana. We are taping 4 episodes of Living Right with Dr. Ray, season number 15, the EWTN Global Television Network show that I've been privileged enough to do for a long time now, many, many years. And I look back at that first show and I go, who's the kid? Who's the kid that's the host? Who is that guy? We'll be in Buffalo, 19th and the 20th, and we will be at WNED, station downtown Buffalo. 2 shows, 5 and 7:15, both nights, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. The Tuesday night, we'll have Father Larry Richards with us the whole time. Yeah, he's a regular on the show through our tapings, where we go to his parish, St. Jude's, in Erie. But he'll be there live, so if you want to meet with Father Larry, and you don't care about meeting with me, that doesn't matter to me. As long as you're in the audience, I think that's great. Audience makes the show. Come to 1, 2, 3, 4 shows, sign up. Bring the kids, definitely. You big homeschooling families, 2 of you show up, you fill up the audience. I think that's great. Plus, I have a bit coming up where I'm going to need a good 8, 9, 10-year-old, so that'll help. Go to thestationofthecross.com, their homepage, and you can sign up. Real easy to do. The numbers are growing, and I suspected that would be. Didn't expect anything less from the folks in Buffalo. Susan, Dearborn, Michigan, Ave Maria Radio. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I didn't take it. Eric did. I told him, don't take Susan's call. But he said, no, she seems like a nice person. I said, well, all right, you can take it then.
Eric's got good taste.
Yeah. What's going on, Susan?
Well, it's a situation that happened 34 years ago. So my brother and his girlfriend became pregnant and, you know, obviously not married. And they told my father, me, and my other sibling. But my brother was scared to death to tell my mother. So we all knew, and we thought it's my brother's responsibility to tell my mother, not ours. And he ended up waiting a very, very long time. When my mother did find out, to say she had a conniption is to put it mildly.
Which is what your brother thought would happen.
What he thought would, well, we were not raised to be, you know, having intercourse outside of marriage kind of thing. And so my mother would not have agreed with any of his lifestyle and definitely bringing a baby into the world, you know, outside of marriage would have really been upsetting. And so
that baby's still around?
I think, well, oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He married the girlfriend?
He did, eventually. Mm-hmm.
They
since divorced.
Oh, no, okay.
He's since divorced. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, why do you think he told you guys and not mom?
Because of her reaction, that she would have, her anger, her upset, the fact that when, way back when he originally moved out of the house, he moved out to move in with a different girl, another girlfriend, which broke my mother's heart. He wasn't allowed to come into the house, and when he came over, we had to visit him outside. It was not good. So
his view was, this would have been the ultimate sin in your mother's eyes, and therefore she probably would have either disowned him or for certain had nothing to do with that girl.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Or disowned him, I'm sure, probably. Yeah. But
how'd she find out?
So
You know, I can't really remember. I don't. Honestly, it was such a bad, bad reaction. She didn't talk to all of us for I don't know how long. I don't know how many weeks. We all got the cold shoulder.
Well, it sounds like your mom has always been the one in the family that people tiptoed around.
Well, she definitely felt it was all of us against her quite often. So, as she was the disciplinarian, my dad would want to be a little softer on us and let us do things that she didn't think we ought to be doing. And yes.
Why did you think, Susan, that it was your responsibility to tell her?
I didn't think it was my responsibility to tell her. I thought it was my brother's responsibility. But the longer he kept waiting, it was bothering me that he didn't have the guts to tell her. I mean, I could understand why he didn't want to tell her, but it put all of the rest of us in a very bad position.
Well, it did. You were forced between two options, both bad. One, you keep the secret, figuring your mother's going to find out eventually, and then she's going to really be upset, not only at your brother, but at everybody else, because they basically put her out in the cold. She's the one that didn't know anything. You guys all just had this cabal. That's one. Or two, you take it upon yourself to tell her, at which point your brother would kill you. So you were in a lose-lose there, Susan. Now,
sometimes I think my brother almost wished we would have told her so that he wouldn't have had to be the one to
Yeah. But as you said, he went longer and longer without telling her. You felt more pressure, more confusion to tell her. But 34 years later, are you still second-guessing this?
I'm just wondering if I should have told her. Because, Dr. Ray, it was not good at all. I mean, it was...
So you're saying that if you would have told her initially, it would have been less ugly because at least she wouldn't have felt like everybody ganged up on her.
I think so. I think she would have had I think in the end that ended up being the bigger issue was that she was not told when the rest of us were told.
Well, I find it interesting that your mother did not show any understanding of why it was that she was the only one not told. That she viewed it as, I'm the only one that is going to stand my moral ground here, and the rest of the family have acquiesced, rather than, he isn't going to tell me because he knows how I'm going to react and I won't even allow this girl anywhere near our house. Stay there, Susan. Stay there. More to say on the other side of the break. 877-573-7825. Speaking 200 to 400 words per minute with gusts up to 800. Passive IQ raising here on The Doctor Is In. All right, talking to Susan from Dearborn, Michigan. Henry Ford Museum's there. I went there as a kid. Summarize it. Susan's brother and his girlfriend became pregnant 34 years ago. Brother didn't want to tell mom because for a couple of reasons. Mom would be the one who would react most severely regarding this, which would include probably some kind of severing of the relationship between mom and girlfriend, or maybe even mom and brother. But brother did tell dad, and he did tell Susan, and he did tell, I think, another family member. And, well, mom eventually found out, and she felt like, I'm left out in the cold because they all conspired against me. And then she got really, really, really mad, and she took it very personal. I'm the mother. You people didn't tell me. Still there, Susan?
Yep.
If you want my opinion, which you might because you called, you didn't have any obligation to tell your mother. That's your brother. And if you say, well, yeah, I know, but I thought he'd eventually tell her. He took forever to tell her. And wait a minute, he didn't even tell her. She found out. Well, that still doesn't make it your obligation. Why? You saw what happened. You knew that your mom was going to react the way she did. And it's one thing to say, I morally, severely disapprove of the way it went down. And you implied that your brother also kind of had been living a lifestyle that your mom didn't approve of much. But when this happened, this threw her over the edge. And so, has your mother passed away since?
Yes.
Okay. So you felt, oh boy, miscalculated on that one. No, you didn't. You did what you thought was right and good, and what your brother asked you to do. You didn't have a responsibility. And the fact that it blew up higher than you thought it would blow up, you can't anticipate that. This is the old, if I would have handled it right, it would have been better. Oh, you don't know that. All you know is how...
I don't think it would have ever been good.
No. And you know your brother didn't tell her because he probably felt pretty confident that she would have nothing to do with this girl anymore, and maybe even the baby. True?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even the girl because he really didn't bring his girlfriend around very much. It was his relationship with my mother. You know, that
yeah, but what happened to the baby?
I was afraid that,
what happened to the baby?
Well, eventually my mother came around and my brother and his girlfriend were back, you know, able to come back to the house and have visits and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good to hear.
It ended up, yeah.
Yeah, your mother figured if she didn't react the way she did, she would be condoning it. That's the biggest mistake people make. Which is, if I don't get completely incensed and respond in a way to semi-punish this person, I'm giving the wrong message. I'm giving the message that I condone what they did and I approve of what they did. No, not at all. Not at all. When our Lord ate with the tax collectors and the sinners, was he condoning what they did? No. No, he was reaching out to them to try to get them to have a relationship with him so that maybe they would rethink and change the way they acted, the way they were. I don't think, Susan, you have another whiff of any kind of second guessing that you deserve here, but that's me. That's my opinion.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ray.
I'm voting for you. I'm on your side. I wouldn't have told. The only difference between me and you,
yeah,
Susan, I wouldn't have told. And it wouldn't have eaten at me. That's the difference.
Yeah. Well, thank you for... I just wanted somebody impartial to give a...
I'm not impartial. So I'm on your side.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, dear. Thanks for the call. Bye. Now, I am just getting a call right now from my sister. My sister is calling me. My sister knows that I've been on the air on the radio for 22 years at this time. She's calling me. It shows you how much respect I get from my family. Hmm? Let's go to Jenny. Jenny from Omaha. That's 24 hours from Tulsa. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
You got a 2-year-old. I like disciplining 2-year-olds because they are so, so easy. I know you don't think
That's what I need to hear.
They are. Boy or girl?
Okay. Girl.
All right. So now you know what it's like to live with a woman, huh? I get in trouble for saying
yes.
Stuff like that. Just teasing all you people out there. So what do you want to do when she acts like a 2-year-old? What do you want to do?
We will say, you're going to go in the corner if you don't, you know, X, Y, Z. Which, I mean, we don't usually follow through with that because she wouldn't even stay there.
Well, that's the biggest problem, Jenny. That's the biggest problem for parents when they say, I can't get this child to accept the most benign of discipline. Okay, what are you going to do? You got multiple options. One, you can say to her when she leaves that corner without staying, anything she asks for, you simply say, no, you didn't go to the corner yet. You can do that. She goes to play with the toy, you take the toy. You say, no, you didn't go to the corner yet. You have to go to the corner. She asks for her favorite juice cup. You say, no, I'm going to give you a plastic cup. You didn't go to the corner. You can do that. This is going to make people gasp. You can give her hand or her bottom a little crack. You can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Although the experts would gasp and think it's horrible and awful and terrible. And I know there are those of you listening to me right now who would say, Dr. Ray, how could you possibly say that? I used to like you. No, there's no research anywhere that says in a loving home, a swat on the bottom or a swat on the hand is causing any kind of theoretical problems that have been used as indictments against corporal punishment. That's too. You don't have to do it if you want to. If you got the stamina, you can hold her there, I suppose. But probably the easiest thing, Jenny, if you got a pack and play, or you want to just kind of put her in her high chair and strap her in, you can do that. You can say, this is what you have to do. If you're not going to go to the corner, here's where you're going to go. And then, when she gets out, you can say, now you go to the corner. So what you're doing is you're basically giving her a choice. Here, I'm going to put you here, where you can't run away. And then, when you're done, now you have to go to the corner. If you go to the corner first, I wouldn't have put you in your high chair. You can do that. Just make it stick. It doesn't take very long with a two-year-old. It doesn't. You do that five or six times, and that'll be it. She'll go to the corner, or she'll sit on the steps, or she'll sit on the couch, or wherever. She'll put her head down at the dining room table, or wherever you choose. You're mom. You're the boss. Mm-hmm. I deal with this heavily in several of my parenting books because it is the number one discipline problem, which is I can't get my kid, age 2, age 8, age 12, age 17, to accept discipline without a fight, without resistance, without an argument, without a look that says, yeah, you and what army? There you go, Jen. Thank you, dear. Thanks for the call. This is Dr. Ray. I'm past break. You guys are so much fun to talk to. Time flies. Or, if you know Latin, tempus fugit.
I don't think we've replaced our siding since we moved in 20 years ago. But I'm sure it's still fine, right?
Better call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor.
Damaged siding can cause mold buildup and weaken your home structure. Protect your family by calling local Catholics Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your siding, roof, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Ron Finn here, inviting you to join Dave Basheris, Pat Odie Murray, and me for Morning Offering, the Catholic way to start your day.
We welcome some very special guests each day, including Teresa Tamio, Andrew Reinhardt, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and Matthew Archbold. Plus, my chat with Pat, talking with Catholic experts from all over.
Plus, we're having fun along the way, so you can start your day with a smile. Morning Offering, weekday mornings at 8, here on the Ave Maria Radio family of stations.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi, host of The Doctor Is In, Ave Maria Radio for 20 years. I've been with them, and during that time, I've watched them spread our precious faith to anyone, anywhere. Well, also in that time, their equipment The equipment that they had as cutting edge no longer is cutting edge. It's kind of like an iPhone 5. We need your help. We absolutely need your help. Visit AveMariaRadio.net. You're not just donating, you're broadcasting hope. The rule is, you're on the program at the end of the show. You're first up anytime you call all the way out to the end of the world or the end of the show or the end of your or my life, whichever comes first. Samantha miscalculated bad. 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 This is why I am ever so cautious. Ever so cautious. In advising people, be very, very careful. Samantha, what did you do?
Yeah, so, hi, Dr. A.
Hi.
Well, my husband's brother and sister-in-law are very angry at us because their daughter was bullying my daughter, and I disciplined her, but not only did I discipline her, I also grabbed her arm while I disciplined her. Yes. They are pretty much furious at us and want nothing to do with us because of this.
Well, it ain't because of that, Samantha. It has been building.
Well, this was one of those things I knew was going to happen at some point because, so this is my niece, and she's always been difficult, and I would say
she ain't
really
difficult. More than likely her parents are allowing her to be difficult.
Yeah, so their parenting is very different than how we parent, and they kind of just let her. She's eight. Since two, she's been difficult, which I guess they kind of just let her do what she wants. From what I've observed, I've seen her like scream in their face and tell them, like, say that she hates them, and like starts hitting, kicking, and they just kind of let her do it. They say that she is neurodivergent and has ADHD, and that's why she acts like this, and they kind of just let her do what she wants.
Yep-er. Yeah. Well, in likelihood, that's going to be a problem on top of whatever neurological issues she might have.
Yeah.
You see these, do you see this brother and sister-in-law very often prior to this?
Trip with them, a beach trip, and you know, I was kind of like hoping we could avoid something like this, but didn't work out. So my daughter's seven, Ellen, her daughter's eight, so they play together because they're the same age. But a couple times on the trip, there had been instances where I could see her kind of like bullying my daughter the same way she talks to the parents, saying like, Ella, my daughter didn't want to play the way she wanted to play, and she would start saying, I hate you, Ella, I hate you, you're the worst cousin ever, you know, mean things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this happened one time, and I heard it, but I wasn't in a position where I could have, like, done anything because the kids were all in the house, and we were all the adults were outside. And so I was going to go in and stop her or, you know, say something, but then she also had this new behavior that my niece, where she just kind of runs when something goes wrong. So she essentially said what she wanted to say and then just runs out the door. And then the parents just kind of go, okay, I guess we'll follow her and let her run away. So she ran away before I could say anything.
If you're going to be around your brother and sister-in-law, you're going to probably have to accept their kid's a brat.
Well, we have accepted that. It's just this is the first time we're like, you know, let's go on a trip with them and see how this goes. So this happened. This night, we all had dinner together again, and I was like, okay, well, if this happens again, I'm going to say something, because you can't talk to my kid that way.
Sure she can. Sure she can. I'm not saying she should, but she can. She does.
She can. She does, yes.
Yeah, so it's no surprise, and I think what I would say to you is expect the fact that if you're going to be around this little girl, very, very sadly, she's going to be more and more difficult as she gets older. And if your daughter's going to have any contact with her, then your daughter's going to have to learn to accept that she's bratty and not let her get to her. If you don't think that can happen, then what you do is you go in and you remove your daughter. You grab your daughter and you say, come on with me, honey.
Yeah, so essentially, I guess, the situation happened again where I mean, I don't know if we're going to see them because they don't want to see us after I did this. But so they're, you know, they're playing, and then she starts, they had a disagreement about something. So, you know, my niece starts getting in my daughter's face, yelling at her, I hate you, Ella. I hate you. You're the worst cousin ever. And then the mom is in the room saying, not stopping it, but in the corner, just kind of saying, like, stop, honey, stop, blah. But not actually getting up and stopping her.
Right.
And then the situation escalated to where she starts flicking my daughter in the arm while telling her that she hates her. So I stood up and went up to her and said, you cannot talk to my child that way. And I grabbed her firmly by the arm.
No, like, mistake.
Not appropriate. You cannot do
mistake,
this.
Mistake, Samantha. Not to say,
and
I don't
understand. Ran away.
I totally understand what you did. I'm not saying, I'm not judging what you did. I'm just simply saying, that's a mistake given what you know about your brother and your sister-in-law's parenting. They don't like the way you parent. They think you're too strict, you don't understand, etc. If you have recontact with them, I'm going to run out of time here. You can call back, please. If you have recontact with them and this happens again, you go get your daughter and just simply say, come on with me, please. That's it. Just remove your daughter from the scene. Because attempting to stop that child is not going to succeed at all. I got a rush. Walk with God.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.